George Brockerbeck with you here. Final hour of the show on this Thursday. Pleased to bring up a guy who has such limited time but always is so generous with it. He is the congressman from the Fighting 4th Congressional District, my congressman, Ken Buck. Sir, thanks for joining us.
George, did you say limited intelligence or limited time?
Yes. thanks for joining us. We spent I can't believe it took this much, but yesterday in the 7 o'clock hour, I set the stage for the letter that you wrote and that David Williams put out to the rest of the Republican community out there regarding this issue that had sort of been generated by a letter that the vice chair of the party in El Paso County had sent out. And it drove the conversation for like the next 2.5 hours. A lot of people weighing in with questions and comments and all this other stuff. I just can't thank you enough for coming on to help to address this particular part of the situation. And I'll lead with this. You probably know this. You're in the thick of it more than I am. So much of people's thoughts on this issue aren't really truly about this issue. It's about the greater sense of a two-tiered system and an injustice against Donald Trump and all these other things. And it feels, from my standpoint, like it causes them to want to believe every damn thing that someone says out there on the internet or on talk radio, and that your willingness to come forward and say, I get what you're saying, let's take a look at the facts, it's caused some people to be like, whoa. So set the stage for us. This letter was sent out, and then what did you do in crafting this letter, and what was the goal?
So, George, here's sort of the backstory to it. When I speak in public, probably one out of five or six times, somebody will come up to me, typically a Republican, and they will say, Ken, and oftentimes very angry, they'll say, Ken, somebody that I know has been held without bond and they haven't been charged yet. And I say, give me the name. And they say, I'll get back to your staff. And I never get a name of somebody that has been held pending charges. And, finally I saw this letter and it was an opportunity to say, folks, there are really serious problems in this country. Our border is a mess and Biden caused that mess. And inflation is a mess and Biden caused that mess. And crime in the streets, especially in urban America, is a mess and Biden caused that mess. And we've got to beat him. We've got to get him out of the White House, get a Republican in there, so that we can actually make changes on the policies that are so important to the American people. This issue is just factually incorrect. And if we spend our time and energy on this issue, meaning the incarceration of the January 6th defendants, we are missing the opportunity to win the White House next November. And so that was the point of what I was trying to do.
What is your sense of what's feeding this? And I think what you're describing is a distraction, an unnecessary distraction from the real fight that should be taking place. Well, why is this taking on a life of its own, this narrative?
So George, I think that I wouldn't necessarily I've used the word distraction, I think, in the letter. But I think dialogue in the Republican Party is important, and I think it is healthy. But it has to be based on facts. So the facts are that and you know this, we're prosecutors. And I think it probably makes your blood boil also when you hear that, people are being held pending charges, because it just isn't true. But the fact is that the D.C. jail is a horrible place. It has civil rights suit after civil rights suit at because of the terrible conditions there. They're not targeting January 6th prisoners with those terrible conditions. Those are conditions that existed for decades and will continue to exist and are really a symptom of a broken system in D.C. More than anything else. And so I want to make sure that we don't minimize what's happening to these January 6th prisoners. Those conditions are terrible. There are a lot of those cases that have been prosecuted by the Department of Justice that you or I would not prosecute.
That's right.
There are people. There are some terrible people who broke windows and engaged in assaults on police officers. Those people absolutely should be prosecuted. Some people wandered into the building. The police officers were standing at the doors, and some people wandered into the building. And I wouldn't charge a trespass in that situation. I don't think you would.
Nope.
Focus on the people who are real criminals and who deserve to be prosecuted. And so that's the that's another point, I guess, that I was trying to make.
One of the things that stuck out to me was when you highlighted, listen, there aren't hundreds of people being held without bond. There are 20 people currently, 85% of whom are being held on felony charges of assaulting the police, and another 15% who are being held on some variation of weapons charges, apparently, that took place on January 6th. I put that information out by reading your letter, and then some folks texted in, some folks even called in and said, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe that. I think he's relying on left-leaning media for that information. What do you say to that?
Well, what I'm relying on is a database that the Department of Justice has posted on its website that lists every defendant that has been charged for the crime relating to January 6th, the status of that defendant, whether they were held on bond. You can look and see that no defendant was incarcerated as a result of a misdemeanor charge, only defendants with felony charges. And so the answer to that, you know, false information is go and look at those defendants, those 20 defendants that are still being held. You can contact the defense attorneys. I mean, they're going to give you reliable information on those defendants. You can go look at court documents. Those are public documents. Go look at the charges and see what the charges are. It's 20 people. My goodness. You know, the state of Arizona did a recount on the 2020 election. Certainly someone can go and look up 20 indictments on a public website for the D.C. courts. It is verifiable information that's on that website.
We're talking with Congressman Ken Buck from the 4th Congressional District. Some folks texted in saying, well, hey, Marjorie Taylor Greene went and visited these or tried to. Maybe she did. I don't know if she was successful in visiting these people in jail. Has Congressman Buck done it? And if not, why not?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Marjorie did do it, and she did have access to them, and she did talk to them. And frankly, I have a lot of things to do, and I'm not going to go to the D.C. jail and talk to a bunch of people who assaulted police officers. My sympathy is not with people who beat up cops. My sympathy is not with people who destroy a building that I consider sacred, the U.S. Capitol. My sympathy are not with people who want to stop a congressional function, which is counting the votes in an election. That's not where my sympathies lie. And I'm not going to spend my time going there. You and I have been to a lot of jails. I've been to jails and murder scenes, prisons before they were allowed to release the murder scene. I've been to a lot of places. That is not where I'm going to spend my time.
I think the other part of this, too, and you brought it up earlier, that makes maybe us a little more acutely sensitive to these allegations is you take seriously the vast authority that you have when you're a prosecutor. And you've been something I haven't. I was a special assistant U.S. attorney, but that was in my capacity in the military. You were an assistant U.S. attorney. You've done the federal thing. You were the elected DA up in Weld County, the second best judicial district in the state. And you understand how important it is in your role as protecting the rights of even the people that you accuse of violating the law. And so if someone had ever come to you with me and said, hey, man, we got someone in jail that is just hanging out there and hasn't been charged. One, I can't envision that happening because the system would correct itself. But if you found that out or thought someone was being held on something less than was constitutional, you would act immediately. You wouldn't be like, well, let's talk about it tomorrow at the staff meeting. You'd pick up the phone and go, Sheriff, what the hell's going on? You know, you'd move. And so to suggest that there's a system that's set in place here in D.C. where we've just thrown people in a well and basically said, good luck, folks. We'll let you know. Like it's Gitmo or a black site somewhere. It's kind of annoying and offensive.
It is annoying and offensive, George. And the bottom line is that anybody at the Bureau of Prisons, the federal correctional system that would do that would be prosecuted. You know, that is a crazy concept that they would be filling out false documents, making false statements, and subjecting themselves to every false statement, a 5-year maximum prison sentence because they wanted to, you know, get back at people in some way. It is ridiculous. But the other thing that I think is real important, George, is the Republican Party for decades has stood for the rule of law. We have criticized the left for defunding the police. We've criticized the left for promoting the riots that occurred in 2020, where arson and assaults were happening across the United States. We have criticized the left for their victimhood, where they are saying, you know, poor us, we're victims of this terrible capitalist racist system that we have. And then we start acting like victims in situations like this, and we start criticizing law enforcement and you know, there are bills now in Congress by Republicans to defund the FBI, to defund ATF, to defund these agencies. My goodness, if we did away with the FBI tomorrow, the terrorists around the world would be celebrating.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, the idea that somehow Republicans are against law enforcement is just a crazy idea.
Let's stretch that comment out just a little bit further. And again, I didn't say, hey, I was going to ask you about this. I'm sure Joe right now is like, don't do it. But Marjorie Taylor Greene came out and said, we played the sound yesterday, that she's like, I'm not voting for any budget bill, no continuing resolution, nothing that doesn't involve the defunding of Jack Smith's special counsel office and everything that he's doing. Do you feel similarly about that issue as you do to defunding the FBI and the ATF and the DEA, et cetera?
So George, when I was teaching law school, I learned and taught certain constitutional principles. When Marjorie Taylor Greene was teaching CrossFit, she learned a whole different set of values, evidently, because my idea of what this country should be like is based on the Constitution. And she sees the world differently. She's criticized me for, voting to certify the election in 2020. The Constitution says Congress shall count the votes. It doesn't say Congress may overturn an election result. It doesn't say Congress can do whatever the heck it wants with this election. Shall count the votes. That's what the Constitution says. In her CrossFit class, maybe they didn't cover that. And it also, the Constitution also says that, the impeachment of a president shall be based on treason, high crimes, misdemeanors. It doesn't say it's a political exercise.
Right.
And we hope the Senate does the right thing. And so I get tired of people. One of the beauties of Congress is you bring 435 people together from different backgrounds and you try to reach a consensus on issues. When you've got people who care more about their social media accounts than they do about the Constitution, we have a real problem in Congress.
Along those lines, and again, I didn't say I was going to ask you about this, but it just happened, right? You may have heard, I don't imagine you've had any time to read through it, but you may have heard that a group of individuals, private citizens, filed a lawsuit against Jenna Griswold, our Secretary of State, to try to keep Donald Trump off of the primary ballot, and I presume then by extension the general election ballot. Have you given any thought under the 14th Amendment, that's Section 3, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous, and I think it's another example of how people are trying to suppress the vote. The voters can decide if Donald Trump is qualified to be president, is qualified to be to lead this country. It's not necessary to try to hold somebody off the ballot. The facts on January 6th, the facts of President Trump's leadership in office and the facts on President Biden's leadership in office are going to be well known to voters, and they will make a decision. And I have a feeling if the election were held today, President Trump would probably beat President Biden, because President Biden has been horrible in office and his age is a serious concern, and his status. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of 80-year-olds that are very energetic and with it. President Biden does not portray that kind of being. And this issue of, if you've been involved in January 6th, we're going to call it an insurrection and we're going to keep you off the ballot. The issue has been tested in Georgia and several other states with members of Congress, and it has failed every single time. And so I don't think it's going to be successful in Colorado, and nor do I think it should be successful in Colorado.
Just because I want to create some parity with you and MTG, what's your highest box jump? I'm kidding. And then I was going to ask you about pull-ups, but I don't want to go down that road. I talked to Chris Murray, you know Chris well, Party's attorney for a long time, and he said, listen, not only is it bad in terms of all the other things you mentioned, he's like, the Constitution, Section 5 of Article 14, I'm sorry, Amendment 14, makes it pretty clear only Congress has the ability to do what they're trying to do through this lawsuit. And I thought, why don't I just read the damn Constitution? Because it makes it pretty clear it's up to Congress. I don't even think they have standing to bring the lawsuit.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And Chris gets paid a lot of money to do that kind of thinking, and that's why we talk to Chris about things before we act. But yes, I think that this is frivolous. It makes a point, but it is not something that is going to be successful.
Congressman Ken Buck, my congressman from the Fight and Forth, thanks for taking time out of your busy day. Are you in the swamp right now, or are you headed back to America?
No, I'm in God's country, brother. I'm in God's country.
Oh, my man. I should have just tried to figure out a way to get Joe to drug you and bring you into the studio next time. Thanks for joining us on air. Keep doing the great work that you're doing.
Thank you, buddy. Take
Good care. Luck on your jump rope. Yeah, that was CrossFit Ken Buck, also Congressman Ken Buck. What did you hear there? And in light of the conversation that we had yesterday, what are your thoughts? 303-696-1971. Has your mind changed at all? I mean, I thought his answers, I just appreciate how damn candid Ken is when he comes on and made it very clear a couple things. One, he and MTG are not going to be exchanging Christmas cards. That's my best guess. But at the same time, I mean, the guy was unequivocal. I'm not going to go visit a bunch of cop assaulters in jail. I don't have any sympathy. I'll be honest. That resonates with me. What else did you hear in there? And does it change at all your thoughts from yesterday or add to your questions? Let us know. 303-696-1971. Got at least a line open. Billy's talking with someone pretty energetically right now. Before I cut away for a break, I got to tell you about Mitch Floria with The Art of Granite. Mitch is a guy who is going to make your house look and feel brand new, even if it isn't. And he does that by upgrading your kitchen countertop. Maybe you're redoing the kitchen. Maybe you're redoing the bathroom. This guy's got such an incredible selection. And I've told him this before. The website's misleading. It says The Art of Granite, but it's so much more than granite. It's granite, it's quartz, it's marble, it's man-made, it's God-made. All the beautiful things that he has available, some of them can be seen online, but it just doesn't do it justice. You got to go out to his place out there at about Colfax and 6th Avenue. Walk in, take a look around, and if you dare to make eye contact with Mitch and shake his hand, it's over. Bring your credit card or bring your Apple Pay or whatever. Because you're going to close the deal with this guy. So compelling. Such a compelling story. Such an earnest, kind person. And you can just tell from talking with him and looking around, he's a values-based guy, man. And he lets you know that not just in the words that he uses and the guarantees that he makes, but in this. He's going to extend you the wholesale prices that he gets. But he's also going to say, hey, if you're a 710 listener, and you've got to tell him that, he's going to reward you. And he's going to say, me too. So I'm going to throw in the bathroom countertop with the kitchen countertop package. Or if you just want to do one, or you're finishing the basement, you want to do it, throw in the sink for free with that kitchen countertop package or with whatever that package is that you get. Give him a look at theartofgranite.com and then give him a call on his cell phone, 303-386-5919, 303-386-5919. That's Mitch Floria at The Art of Granite. When we come back, Ben, the other two lines are going, but keep trying to get in there at 303-696-1971. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. George Brocker back with you here, 710 KNUS. That pain in your joints, I imagine it's not from MTG's CrossFit class. That was a great interview with Ken Buck. I really appreciate him making the time and coming on and bringing the tea and the candor, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, 303-696-1971. But one way to address that pain is through pills. I'm not a fan. The other is to get a doctor to cut you open. I'm less a fan of that. I think I'd do the pills first. But the cutting on you, probably more permanent. But I know there's a third option. That third option is regenerative medicine. That's where they take a needle and they put it in you and they take out the good stuff that's helped solve the problem in the other places and they put it back into you. Now, QC Kinetics, our friends out there, have been doing this border-to-border, coast-to-coast for a long time now. The success stories are real. The rave reviews also real. And the local medical professionals that they make available to you for the questions, they're just a phone call away. 303-900-8986. 303-900-8986. I'll give it to you one more time in a second. But you can also check out what they have to offer at QC Kinetics, begins with a K, ends with an X, qckinetics.com, or give them a call and ask them. I'll try to stump them. 303-900-8986, 303-900-8986. That's QC Kinetics. Going to go right back to the phone lines. It's Ben from Morrison. You're on 710 KNUS. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm glad you got Ken Buck on there. You know, it's a little disheartening to see that there's so few Republicans out there these days that will actually just speak the truth and actually give out facts, you know, because I was listening to your show yesterday and it was just goober after goober after goober caller. And you kept pressing them on what information do you have? What, how can you back this up? And none of them could do it. Well, not like a single one of them.
And Ben, I don't know that they're goobers, but I do think they're part of a large group of people for whom whatever they have witnessed that feeds that emotion makes it easier for them to accept the conclusions drawn by other smaller pieces of information, whether that information is accurate or not, right? Like some of what they believe is true. And that is, yes, there are obviously parts of the system that are not working the way they should. It feels like there's a two-tiered system, but I part company with them when they say the tiers are based on R's and D's. I don't believe that at all. I mean, the two-tiered system is the politically elite and rich versus you and me. You know what I mean? There's just two systems.
Yeah, there is two systems, and that's exactly what it is. Like, if you're a rich kid that's going to, you know, Harvard or Duke and on the lacrosse team, and your parents have, you know, $5 million in a trust fund, you know, you're probably going to do a little bit better in the legal system than some poor, you know, 18-year-old black kid who has a public defender. Like, that is the reality.
That, although our public defender system is pretty awesome. When you, what was your takeaway though from what Ken said? I mean, he's no fan of Biden. Obviously, he's a guy that clearly is invested in the idea that what Biden has done, and I agree with this, has left America in a much more tenuous position moving forward, especially with the border and the fentanyl and all the other stuff. But his point in drafting that letter was, and he didn't want to continue to push the distraction thing, but like this. This is not where the fight is. The fight is not on these 20 cop-beating criminals that are being held in D.C. jails, as horrible as the D.C. jail. The fight is somewhere else. What, was that influential at all to you?
My take on that is that the Republican Party needs to stop pandering to misinformation and stop just being so gullible and listening to a lot of this junk that's out here. Do a better job of filtering through your info. I mean, I did speech and debate through high school, and that was one of the best takeaways that I got out of that was we had to process like a lot of different information. We get it from, you know, three or four different sources, you know, look at it and see, okay, what's accurate, what's not, what's bias, what's not, okay, what's the slant here, you know, and we filter through that stuff. And I'm dealing with like adults now who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s that lack that skill. They just absolutely lack it. And it's very frustrating, and I see it so much more on the right than on the left.
Really? I don't know if I agree that the right is somehow more prone or demonstrably more susceptible to the misinformation piece. I think what makes it harder, by the way, is from where I sit, the media, the mainstream media, the legacy media, whatever terminology you want to use, definitely leans left. And so it feels like I can't trust that amount of information, but the folks on the left, they gobble it all up. And so it forces folks to go to other places to try to find something they think is more credible or more truthy, for lack of a better term. And I think that's what makes them susceptible. It's that you can't trust NBC or MSNBC or CNN anymore because the way they conducted themselves over the last 4 or 5 years. That's my sense of it.
But there's slant, and then there's obvious like falsehoods. Like, for example, you know, Fox just got sued for $780 million, you know, by Dominion for basically promoting something that they obviously knew was false. You know, like
you're talking about the stolen election stuff and Dominion and all that other stuff with the voting machines. I actually think they settled for that. I think they got sued for a ton more than that.
There's
something to that. There's certainly something to that. And it speaks to another problem with media. And that is that they want to feed their viewers. You know what I mean? They seem less tethered to the accuracy of what they're saying than they do in trying to feed the emotion of the people that are out there watching it.
Yeah, but you know, like if I go and watch like or listen to like something like NPR, I know what I'm getting because I generally their news is actually pretty spot on, but then they have like these personal stories that
right.
I know slant
right.
left. So they'll have like a transgender person talk about something. So like I know where that's going to the left, but the news is generally pretty like dry and bland on programs like that. It's not, it's just like your little cutaways with CBS News, you know, that you do like in the hourly, like generally that's not really a whole lot of slant, like either way, they're just reporting what happened.
Ben, can I transition you to another topic that we covered earlier today? I don't know if you were able to listen, but I had Chris Murray on to talk about this lawsuit you may be aware of that was filed by some current and former Republicans against Jenner Griswold and Donald Trump to try to keep him off the ballot under a claim of this Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Now, if you're not familiar at all with whatever the hell I'm talking about, then that's fine. I'm not going to opinion anything. But if you
I'm familiar.
Okay, well, what are your thoughts?
I think it's kind of a flimsy lawsuit. I don't see that going forward really anywhere. I think it's something that's they're probably going to lose on. I don't see Donald Trump winning. He might win a primary in Colorado, but I don't see him winning, you know, in the general here. I can't remember how much he lost by last time, if it was 14 points or 15 points.
Here in Colorado, it was crazy. It could have been 16 points. I mean, it was really, really bad.
So I
appreciate that. I think, and this is my impression, speaking just from my own response to this, but if they were to do this, if they were to try to keep him off the ballot, whether or not I want to see him on the general election ballot or not, it would piss me off so much I would probably become a very motivated pro-Trump campaign guy just because my response would be, you are rigging the system now. Like, right. Like, I believe the election last time was free and fair. I believe that. But if you're going to now go through the mechanisms of government to keep this guy from even being an option for voters, well, you just turned me into a supporter of his, an enthusiastic supporter, because who the hell are you to try to keep me from being able to vote for this guy? I think there's probably a lot of other Republicans out there who right now are like, nah, let's see. But they would become super motivated. Do you think any unaffiliateds would feel that way? Like, it bothers me that someone's out there trying to say you're not entitled to vote for this person.
Well, I don't think that case is going to go anywhere, but I do think some of his legal pickles might end up going somewhere. I don't know how
long
it's going to be able to delay those.
You're talking about the four indictments and all that stuff?
Yeah, that one, you know, I agree with you that the Mar-a-Lago one is the one where they really have him dead to rights.
What's the possible defense to that one? I mean, the others, I can see it, but this one, I'm like, dude, they got you, man. Like, what's left?
Yeah. Like, but I don't know. He might be able to delay that out and prolong it out and, you know, do motions and other different things to, like, just, you know, drag it out through the election. But I think they have him dead to rights on that one. Just, I feel like you do. The other ones, like, I think about, you know, some of the things are valid, like getting the fake slates of electors and things like that, but a lot of the other stuff is kind of hard to prove because you have to prove intent, and there's, I don't know, it's a little bit more difficult. You have to place like state of mind and other things like that. But
I wrote a column that's going to come out, I think, tomorrow in the Gazette that basically said, and it echoed something Ken Buck said that also resonates with me, and that is, how did Republicans, the Law and Order Party, become the party of defund law enforcement? And in the case of Jack Smith's thing, even if you disagree with what he's doing, the idea that, hey, we just don't like it and we don't trust the system to generate a just outcome in the time that we want, so we're just going to defund it. There's that effort, too, down in Georgia that I talked about, where they're trying to invoke this new Senate Bill 92 set of powers where some appointed committee, appointed all by Republicans, by the way, is going to sit in judgment as to whether Fannie Willis can continue on as DA. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on? Let the system play out. right? Like, let's see how if you don't trust our system to work, what's left?
Yeah, they're trying to pull her just because they don't like what she's doing, and it's not based on merits. It's not based on, you know,
and
the evidence or anything
jury
like that.
Trials. They don't even trust juries. I mean, I've heard people say, well, he can't get a fair trial in D.C. Maybe, but let's find out, right? Like, this dude is, you know, super well known across the planet Earth. Let's see if he can get a fair trial. And then if not, we can move it during jury selection. But this idea that, well, you can't even bring it in D.C. You can't even bring it in Fulton County. Like, we don't trust juries anymore, that the defendant has a hand in picking. We can't trust them. Like, we are setting fire to institutions that have been tested over and over again, tweaked and improved over 200 plus years, and we're setting them on fire over this dude. What?
Yeah, and if you feel violated, that's what the appellate process is for.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. But we can't trust them either. Apparently, we can only trust the Supreme Court that has a majority of conservatives, three of whom were appointed by. We can only trust them. We can't trust anyone below them. I mean, man, I'm worried about the future. Ben, as always, very thoughtful phone call. I know a bunch of people are going to be out there thinking to themselves, I had banners. Call in 303-696-1971. Or if you're thinking to yourself, man, when can I pick up the phone and call someone who will make me smarter on real estate because I want to get out of my house and into another one? The segues just keep getting better. Call Gay Ribble at Empower Home Team at Keller Williams. I told you about Gay earlier, but I want to emphasize this part of it. They sell so many more homes than other realtors. Like, they've got the connections. They've got the knowledge, the expertise. You know what that means for you? More money in your pocket. Something like, on average, $30,000 more in your pocket for the sale of your home. That's real money. That's like a month's salary for Billy right here at the radio station. I'm completely kidding. That may be 2 years' salary for Billy. I don't know. But $30,000 extra dollars, they sell them faster than other realtors. And they make you promises. That's how confident they are. They're like, look, we'll promise to sell your house at a certain price within a certain period of time, or we'll make it right with the dollars if we don't. They provide a whole ton of free information because they're not afraid of you going and getting it. They want you to have it so that you're a better client, a better purchaser. Why not give them a call at 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. Call them today. Check them out at GayHasTheBuyers.com, and she does, 14,600 something of them now. I've lost count. GayHasTheBuyers.com. When we come back, your texts, your calls. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. Lots and lots of texts running the gamut, as you can imagine. Some folks say, this one as well, Buck sounds like a blah. He didn't need to attack MTG about CrossFit. I thought it was funny. Someone said homosexual. This is back from, I think this is the top of the hour, so right as Ken was calling it. Homosexuality and bestiality has been tried for thousands of years in the human race. It goes against men's law and the law of nature. It's not good for the mind or the body or the soul. It never worked in the past with the Greeks and Romans. And then said, this young man, I presume it was Ben, is a babe in the woods. He should go back. I'd love to call in, but you yell at me, and I don't, if you're not related to me, I don't yell at you.
Just point of information. I understand everybody talking about it's against laws of nature. Then what you're going to have to do is explain to me how we have identified currently 1,500 animal species that all exhibit homosexual behavior in exactly the same percentages as it exists in humanity.
But they're all at the San Francisco Zoo.
Yes.
That's totally different, my friend.
But the issue is, if we're talking about what is against nature's law, you got to then explain to me why then it exists in nature. And it's not because the otters and the wolves and the goats are showing up at the drag shows. I'm just saying. That's not it. So just help me get there. If you think it is against the law of nature, then show me why it exists in nature.
953 Billy drops the thermonuclear gay bomb on the animals and stuff like that.
But we can get to that part later. So, okay. Back to the normally scheduled part
of the program. Speaking of something else that's against nature, and that is intervene when nature tries to gum up your teeth, or maybe they've given you some poor tartar control issues. I've got some tartar things that I got to deal with too. Or they create, as with me, wisdom teeth that have a gap in it that will apparently hold an entire sandwich. I don't know. I've constantly got to be diligent about those things. Think about your dentist. Think about what can you do to put yourself in a position to make those choppers of yours last your entire life. Some folks can't. I understand that. But if you want the best shot at keeping your teeth and keeping your health, and oh, by the way, making that awesome smile even awesomer, then you're going to call my friends at Twin Aspen Dental Center. They're not just my friends. They're my dentists, Doctors Richter and Snyder. And I think Shiloh's the only hygienist I've had so far. She has been wonderful, but that whole staff just seems so nice, welcoming, inviting, creating a stress-free environment where they can advance your health. Now, they do all the good stuff, the Invisalign, the crowns, the bridges, the things I'm leaving out because I just haven't had to have them yet. They do it. Why not check them out? Take a break from your current dentist, not because they've done anything wrong, but because you're looking for something that might be a little righter. And that is to drive down there at the Twin Aspen Dental Center offices right about Stroh Road and Parker. Or you can give them a call at 303-841-7466, 303-841-7466, or try them at TwinAspenDentalCenter.com. All four words put together, TwinAspenDentalCenter.com. Now, listen, we have an opportunity here. I've got a bunch of texts. My sweet goodness, man. Here's what happened again. Text stop coming in. That just doesn't sound like our show. I refreshed the page. Kablooey, another 20-plus texts just showed up. So if I didn't get to yours, please forgive me. Keep coming back. This thing, I don't know how to describe it. Some days it's on fire. Some days the fire can't be seen until I refresh the page, but it's been fantastic, the interaction. Now, before I go, point of personal privilege here. I am with you instead of being in Staten Island, New York right now for a funeral ceremony for my aunt, my dad's oldest sister. He's the second of four, and she passed away just this past weekend. In fact, maybe it was the day before I was headed up to Montana to go to that other funeral for my friend Dale's dad. Aunt Lois passed away. She was one of the funniest, warmest, most accepting people that I've ever met. She was a wonderful, wonderful aunt, and I'm sorry I didn't get to spend more time with her in her waning days. But my dad is out there now. His sister, Aunt Linda's out there. My Uncle Bob is out there, and I wish I could be out there with them. But duty calls here, and I'm not able to be with them. But that doesn't mean I can't tell you what a wonderful person that she was, and her three great kids, Anthony, Michael, Gina, they're all just wonderful, wonderful kids who have gone on to have great families themselves. She was a great aunt, a great, great grandmother, and just a great person. So Aunt Lois, I can't be there for you, but congrats for a life well lived. And Dad, I'm sorry for your loss. And I know you'll keep moving on, man. I know it's just that season for life and death. And we'll get through it all together. Listen, we'll be back tomorrow. Billy and I will, as long as the FCC and the Salem gods haven't turned us off. That's from 6 to 10 a.m. We go live and local at 3 with Big Deb Flora. And then today, Randy Corcoran filling in for Stephen Tubbs. Got to stick around for that one as well. Until tomorrow, you've been listening to me. My name is George. This is the George Brockler Show at 710. KNUS.